You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 10th, 2020, House Democrats working on a bill that would enact a number of reforms, including curbing qualified immunity, creating a national police misconduct registry. All of this is to make changes to police training that might be good depending on what comes out of it, but it's not going to meet the demands of those who say defund the police, abolish the police. So these Democrats are trying to walk a very tight rope without a net. If they don't do what the activists want, they might well pay for it at the polls. Dateline Seattle. Last night, hundreds of protesters, including a sympathetic city council member, stormed the Seattle City Hall demanding the mayor resign. They say it was peaceful. No reports of violence or injuries, but they pushed their way in and made their demands known. And then prior to that, they've seized a six-block downtown zone in Seattle where police had decided to shutter a police precinct headquarters. So they're camped out around this area and calling it a no-cops zone, six blocks. We'll see what happens when violence breaks out in that area. Who they going to call, right? There's a story out of Louisville, Kentucky that might have been overlooked by some. I want to make sure we put it in front of you. A Louisville barbecue cook at his own business, miles away from the downtown demonstrations in Louisville the other day, was shot and killed. Reportedly, he aimed and fired his gun first at law enforcement as they approached on the night of protest, and National Guard was there, and they returned fire. Police did as well. But now they're saying that the man who was killed May 31st at his own business was killed by one of the National Guard members. They're still trying to determine for sure which rifle. And, of course, the statement is now, well, he fired on us first. They're trying to pull all the video together. And make a note of this, some of the Louisville police who were on the scene had turned off their body cams. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. With all of what we've seen about what was happening with the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Russian collusion story, here comes this statement. People are going to get prosecuted. Well, I hope so. The statement comes from a former U.S. attorney, Guy Lewis. He said, we're looking at all this information that's come out, and as you look at this, somebody in the FBI and Department of Justice probably will be prosecuted for the way this was handled. Setting up the Mueller investigation and constantly targeting Trump when there was nothing there. Joe Biden's still trying to decide who's going to put on the ticket. Well, if you bring the money, you got a good chance. And he just had last night a virtual fundraiser hosted by his former rival, Senator Kamala Harris, a Democrat, California, and they collected $3.5 million. I think she just got on the ticket with Joe Biden. $3.5 million raised during that. Republican Party officials say they're now looking at Jacksonville, Florida, as they're trying to find a new location to host this summer's Republican National Convention. Still no official word where they were going to go, of course, in North Carolina. They've been told you can't have it here unless you're going to keep it at less than 150 in your convention. No, we'll go somewhere else. So now they're looking at Jacksonville, Florida, and other locations as well. What is the June 10th? This is June, right? You know what just happened in Colorado and Wyoming? They had to close highways. They had a snowstorm, heavy, wet snow, closing several highways and roads west of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and into the upper reaches of Colorado. We've had another fast radio burst in deep space. They continue to come from time to time. They don't know who's sending it. They don't know what it is. Hear this, hear this. Iran is ready to take on a U.S. aircraft carrier. They have built a fake aircraft carrier, and now they're using it for potential live fire drills to show they can destroy a U.S. aircraft carrier. They did the same thing, building one out of wood in 2015. Oh, they sunk it. Yeah, they said, see, we can sink a U.S. aircraft carrier. I guess they still don't understand our carriers will fire back on them, and our planes will get off, and they will blow the hell out of them. But if you think that makes you ready, come on. Just come on.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to go back over because this is a story that's got legs. It's going to continue for some time as long as those out there say we don't want police and we fear police. And if you are in a situation and you call 911, you're exercising your privilege. And that's primarily aimed at whites and making them feel guilty. If you need to call for police, you're using your privilege that they will come help you. Where black communities call for police, they're more likely to cause more harm. That's the storyline they're peddling. Defunding police. And of course, it all started out of Minneapolis with the death the other day of George Floyd. In my view, a senseless death, a excess use of violence when obviously he is already restrained. In the last hour, I had the top union cop in New York City saying the same thing. Not one officer here would endorse what happened. But if you wear a badge, they figure you would do the same thing. Minneapolis police chief speaking out. He said, I reject defunding. I reject all you guys who want to defund us and you want to stop us. He said, we're not going to abandon residents. And yet they did abandon the police precinct headquarters, shuttering it by orders of politicians, no doubt, to close it down in this particular precinct. And immediately the leftists gathered around and said, this six-block area is a no-cop zone from now on. We will see. We will see what happens when suddenly there's some kind of violence. Who are they going to call? Are they going to exercise their privilege? And you can ask, who the hell's running Seattle anyway right now? They did, as I pointed out last hour and again in news and commentary, they stormed City Hall last night demanding the mayor be ousted. Who's running Seattle? You know who and what their intent is. You know certainly what they're going to do. And again, if you take police off the streets, if you cut their budget and spend it in other places where maybe you think, you know, if we had some programs for kids that might help reduce crime, that might do it. But taking it out of the police is not the place to take it. But that's going to be their first target. What's going to happen? I want to go over these stats again that I had in the first hour because they're critical. This is with police officers on duty, doing the best they can. In New York City, shootings surge, murders up more than 100% last week as protesters, peaceful protesters, were the streets. And then, of course, the rioters who shattered windows, destroyed property, broke into Macy's, Saks, everything else they could, looting and setting fire because, hey, if you got it and I want it, it's mine. You never should have had it. That's part of your white privilege that you had that I should get it. And there were more than 40 shootings in New York City from June 1 to June 7. And, of course, in Chicago the other day, in a 24-hour period, more deaths than they've ever had in that city in one 24-hour period. In Los Angeles, homicides up by 250% for the week ending June 6. Again, coinkydinkly, the same week as the Black Lives Matter protest and riots. The riots, that's your key. But again, it's not just what they were doing in the street causing the mayhem at that point, but because police officers had to be tied up with that, because they had to be there doing that job, then other areas are left unprotected. You got to defend yourself. You got a business, you got to do it yourself. Maybe you're capable, maybe you're not. Or then again, I'll take you right back to what happened in St. Louis, because it's a classic example. A pawn shop being burglarized. A 77-year-old retired police captain of St. Louis was friends with a guy that owned the pawn shop, said, I'll go check on it for you. He's 77 years old, but he still had basic police training. And he gets there to check on, sure enough, it's being looted, and he is shot dead. I guess he probably shouldn't have bothered calling police either, even though he'd been a prior cop, because he would have been using his privilege. Listen, this thing has gotten so upside down. I'm looking at, you've got John Legend, the entertainer, saying we got to get rid of cops and defund them, take all their money away from them. They get too much money. Then you got Oscar-winning actress Natalie Portman. She was in the Black Swan movie. I didn't see it. I'm sure many of you did. And she posted a very lengthy message the other day in which she acknowledged her white privilege. She said, I had personal doubts about defunding police, but now I notice that I need to acknowledge my white privilege. And so she was encouraging her followers to support efforts to deprive police departments of the money they need. Here's what she wrote. When I first heard defund the police, I had to admit my first reaction was fear. My whole life, police have made me feel safe. But that's exactly the center of my white privilege. The police make me as a white woman feel safe, while many of my black friends, family, and neighbors feel the opposite. Police make them feel terror, and for good reason. She says there are patterns. A part of the system over policing black Americans is not working. Reforms have not worked. That is true. We need better reforms. We need to hold police to a standard. We said this yesterday. If you're not going to hold to good police practices, then you will lose federal dollars. And if you don't deal with police officers that are bad and they're kicked off the force, you could also lose dollars. But again, it's just a matter of demonizing police. That is not helping anyone. Many of those officers are minority groups, and they signed on because they want to help protect those same communities. that now they're spit on and name-called because they roll through and they're constantly being accused of racial profiling when they know some of those kids on the corner down there, you know darn well they're signaling to each other, 5-0 is coming, and when you're gone, they're out there dealing drugs left and right in that neighborhood, endangering kids and other people. So then, of course, we had the other day the Democrat left do something. What they did, came after they had criticized Donald Trump for doing the same thing. Donald Trump the other day, outside of a church across from the White House, standing and holding a Bible, and they said, that's just a photo op. It's a photo op. I'll agree it was a photo op. I have no problem with that. I've told young reporters coming into this business when I was working as a news anchor, reporter, not what I do here, because what I do here, I'm opinionated, I clearly state my bias, but at that point, no one knew, and they shouldn't know. But I was telling reporters, you need to be aware that often you're going to be used by politicians in particular. Come cover this, come do that, and you're going to be used to an extent. You need to make sure you're not abused. So Trump the other day stands and holds up a Bible, and he's blamed by the left of another photo op. And then what did congressional Democrats do the other day? 24 Democrat lawmakers, including House Speaker Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, went to Capitol's Emancipation Hall and down on one knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the tribute to George Floyd. That was a photo op. They knew it. They made sure the cameras knew we're going to be here. And they knew, they didn't even have to tell them. They knew they would be photographed and that story would be sent around. And they were doing it for that purpose. They knew that. Again, I don't knock them. That's using the media. And you could say abusing it, but I'll say they know how to play the game too. They do photo ops as well. See it for what it is. That's all I'm saying. And yet I'm not going to simply denounce their real feelings about it. I mean, the sincerity, there were black lawmakers joining them as well. I'm going to accept it on the basis of that's what they felt led to do. But then they also went the extra step. They were wearing cloth around their, draped around the back of their neck, hanging down from each shoulder. Multicolored cloth. It is called kente cloth. Kente cloth, they believe, was produced as early as 1000 B.C. among the Akan and Ui peoples of Western Africa, modern-day Ghana and Togo. That's according to the African-American Intellectual History Society. Each color holds a special meaning in Ghana. And a Ghanaian-Nigerian researcher at the University of Oxford tweeted out, "My ancestors did not invite or invent kente cloth for them to be worn by publicly obsessed politicians as activism. They were misappropriating his culture." But here they were taking a knee wearing that cloth. Another one said the D.C. African fabric shop is probably sold out now in order to meet the demand of this ridiculous tokenism by Democrat politicians. Dear Africans, step aside. We need the kente cloth for our photo op, our picture. But here's the other thing, and I didn't have time to get onto it yesterday, and I felt bad, so I'm going to make sure the next couple of minutes I dig with this story and this particular issue. My question is, how many times have Democrat members taken a knee honoring the death of police officers? Death of police officers overall, regardless of their race. Death of police officers as a total, not even just one officer. How many times have they taken the knee for that? How many times have they stepped forward and taken a knee and bowed their head as if in prayer for aborted babies? Which primarily, often, are black babies. young black children that never got a chance to grow up. Black Lives Matter, where are you? I've raised this question repeatedly with you. Why are you not demanding that these Planned Parenthood centers be shut down and run out of your neighborhoods? Margaret Sanger created Planned Parenthood as a genocide against black children, basically to improve the gene pool. The inferiors would be cast out. That was in particular at that time aimed at black children. And they sold the message through black churches as trying to help. It wasn't helping. How many young black children might have grown up and solved a lot of our mysteries and our illnesses today? Or been a president long before Obama? We will never know, will we? Because they were never born because of abortion. Any Democrat ever taken a knee for any aborted baby? So that's where I do have a problem with them taking this knee the other day. It's their photo op. They can do what they want. But when you start contrasting it to other issues that exist, if you want to do it for Floyd, that's fine. But how about stopping your hypocrisy, and how about acknowledging other cases? Oh, and by the way, Pelosi did something the other day that I think you want to accuse Biden of losing a step or two? Nancy Pelosi appeared in this video to seem to have lost more than a step or two. Now, I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound. It's snooping around the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden, they often say, look, he's stumbling. He can't keep his words and his phrases straight. He's 77 years old. 77. Bernie Sanders is trying to be president, 78. Of course, he's out of the picture now, so it looks like Biden. You know, our 40th president, when he took office, he was 69 years, 349 days of age at his first inauguration, Ronald Reagan, the oldest to ever assume the U.S. presidency, 69 years, 349 days of age. And he held that until 2017 when, ta-da, Donald Trump was inaugurated at age 70, 220 days. Donald Trump going in just under 71 years of age, Biden at 77. And yes, Biden has made mistakes, as does Trump. And then you got Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, the other day, delivering a speech, a conference, I should say, a news conference, trying to talk about some events in. She's stuttering, babbling, and you'll hear some names inserted. I didn't put this together. Breitbart News did it, but I'm going to run it the way it is. When she stumbles and mispronounces a name like Trayvon Martin, well, they took clips of CNN anchors, either Don Lemon or someone else, to correct her. They just kind of stuck it in. Here we go. Listen to Nancy.
Kidnapping, the purchase of those slaves, the dungeons in which they were kept. To senators, leaders on this issue, Congresswoman Harris, Senator Harris, Senator Booker, gave American experience today. This movement of moment of national anguish,
Philando Castile,
Trayvon Martin, by addressing the quality immunity doctrine. And I salute Chairman Bass and Representative Bobby Smith.
Representative Bobby Scott.
Produce brutality. In the coming weeks, the House will hold hearings, mark up the bill. Once the House passes it, the Justice and Policing Act, Leader McConnell will swiftly take it up. Leader in the Congress, the President must not stand in the way of justice.
You know, if you're a reporter trying to lift a sound bite out of what she said, good luck with that. Totally confused, misstepping, mispronouncing, stumbling around, basically blabbering. But let's don't, this is not to make fun of old people. Nancy's 80 years old. She's 80. She's 80. Are you not allowed to have something? Am I allowed to, I have. And I'm not 80. I will insist I'm not 80. I'm not Joe Biden's age either. Trump. Yeah, whoever. I got to cut some slack, but I thought we'd just share it. It's kind of a laugh, but it is kind of funny, and yet at the same time, if you got grandparents or even a parent, you understand. And I don't know what I'm going to be like when I'm 80. Let me see. If I do some quick ciphering, my age now to 80, take my age and double it. Would that be, yeah. Well, maybe not. I give up. PC in our universities, standing by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We talk about it repeatedly, how we have PC culture, especially across our universities. And they're absolutely messing with the minds that are still developing of college students. I was talking to a friend yesterday. He's a strong conservative. He's got a 26-year-old son. He says he has bought totally into this defund police and get rid of them. He's bought totally into it. I forgot what university he said he was going to, but I said, well, you know, when we were younger, I was at one time younger, and I didn't think my dad knew that much. You know, I was smarter than my dad. Come on. And plus, he didn't even have a high school degree. Well, he did, but I think it's only a 2 or 3 year because then he went to do that. What was that thing that the World War II? What was that? He went to do that, so he didn't really get a degree. So I'm smarter than that. And then I'm into college. I'm definitely smarter now. Daddy never did that. But you know what happens? As kids get a little bit older, they realize, you know, my parents were pretty darn smart, generally. And the university is where a lot of kids are still struggling, and they end up having their minds shaped. And they may go the way of some liberal professors and so forth now, and they might turn back or they might not. At the time I went to college, I think I started my first year of college when I finished my job with the Pony Express every day. Well, it's not quite that far back. But the point being, it was not as infiltrated by leftists at that time, but it is now. And they're given a pass. They're given a pass by the administration. And, in fact, they're looking for that kind of teacher many times. And of course, the leftists. But if you come from the other side of the fence, oh, no. Let me give you some quick examples. Stanford University. They have a professor, a Stanford dean, I should say, not just a professor, a dean, Stanford Senior Associate Vice Provost, Dean of Students, was writing this. As a black woman, I am also struggling to make meaning in our world today, but your humanity gives me hope, your energy, your education, your truth, your purpose. That's how she was wrapping up an email. And added, this loving refrain, which she just read, still rings true as I shelter in place. It is our duty to fight for freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. She was quoting Assata Shakur, convicted in 1973 for killing a New Jersey state trooper when she was in the Black Liberation Army. She escaped from prison in 1979, fled to Cuba, and she's still there. Still on the FBI list of most wanted terrorists. And when Obama did his deal to open up Cuba, and I told you, we got nothing out of it. Nothing out of it other than a new place to vacation and maybe getting cigars. They didn't hold Cuba directly responsible, say, we want to extradite her back. Well, of course they're not going to, Larry. Are you stupid? Yep, I'm afraid I am sometimes. I don't know, and I'm sure that'd be the first claim, that, well, she was not properly convicted. It was not true. I'm not going to get into the case. The bottom line, she was convicted. She escaped from prison. That's definitely a crime at that point. Fled to Cuba. And she's still there. And now you've got the Stanford Senior Associate Vice Provost and Dean of Students quoting a, as she says, a loving refrain from Assata Shakur. The University College Republicans at Stanford, yes, they're on campus, calling out the dean for quoting the cop killer and saying, we're ashamed and disgusted by that. Do you think they're going to get any support from the university in general? You think they're going to put the dean on at least a probation list or something? Nope, not going to. Last year, JetBlue had, during Black History Month, put up a tribute at JFK International Terminal, Black History Month, featuring Shakur. And then when some folks were told the true story of her, well, they decided, yeah, we'll take that down. And, of course, the Shakur quote that Hicks was using was in the final sentences of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels' Communist Manifesto. Proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Proletarians of all countries, unite. Communism, I hope you understand. I'll remind you what we were reading earlier when we're talking about how their HBO is going to start redoing the Gone with the Wind, put a lot of warning notices around it that this might not be politically correct in today's time and so forth. I read this quote. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue, street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day, minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. George Orwell, 1984. This is 2020. And the leftists were always right. Ivanka Trump was to speak at Wichita State University. Universities used to be bastions of free speech. They truly were. That's where you would learn and hear opposing sides. You didn't have to agree with it, but you got to hear different ones. But whoever made the decision to bring her in, they got overruled. Now the president's daughter, senior White House advisor, being told, no, we're not going to do it because protests filed by students dealing with President Trump, the death of George Floyd, we don't want you. and the statement from the Wichita State president, commencement plans have been refocused more centrally on students, student voices in particular. Yeah, that's a cop-out. That's a clear cop-out. In the meantime, at UCLA, a University of California, Los Angeles professor, college professor, being investigated for discrimination and under police protection because some of the black students were saying, and not just black students, but students were saying, we want you to cancel or extend the final exams and give us a grade anyway because we've been so wrapped up in all these protests and traumatized by George Floyd's death, we just can't focus on our studies. We can't do it. And he refused to do so. He said, I don't think this is part of the policy of the university to allow finals to be canceled for this kind of event. But they said, well, give us a no-harm final exam, so if we don't do it properly, it won't hurt us. And extend the deadlines for our final assignments because we're so traumatized, we're so wrapped up. And because the college professor said, no, you make sure you deliver your paper on time and take the exam or not. He's under death threats. Death threats. He even wrote to one of the students that was insisting that it happen. He said, look, remember that MLK famously said people should not be evaluated based on the color of their skin? Do you think your request would run afoul of MLK's admonition? And the student, who was a black student, took exception at that remark. And again, the professor is wrong. When these snowflakes get out in the real world, I can't come into work today. I was out on the riots last night, and I was looting and getting what I needed, or I was peacefully protesting. Let's take the other side of it, George Floyd, and I'm just too tired to come in and do my job. In fact, I need to take a week off. Oh, and that stuff you wanted me to get ready, boss, I didn't get time to do it. I was out of the streets last night on protest. And you think your employer is going to give you a pass and let you? In the real world, it ain't going to happen. Now, if the professor or your boss is also out there and they have bought on, and you'll just close down. I mean, we've already been hurt by coronavirus. What the heck? What's another week or so? And then there's another one out of University of Michigan. A professor and others are leading an effort to get a senior faculty member of the University of Chicago removed. Why? Because he criticized the Black Lives Matter movement and liberals movement to defund police departments. He said it's wrong. It's not. You shouldn't do that. And now they want him kicked out because he expressed his opinion? You're not allowed. They're not going to get it. You're not allowed to have an opinion unless you express our opinion. You need to walk with us. You cannot speak out against us. You can't speak out against Black Lives Matter. You can't say, can we put from perspective? Nope, you can't do any of that. And yes, we believe in free speech. No, you don't. You believe in dictated speech and speech that meets your criteria. That's not free speech. We've gotten into this situation because we've allowed it to happen. And I read somebody who was, and this ticked me off to no end, one of those in favor of getting rid of that Chicago professor signed off as a member of the staff at Texas A&M. Texas A&M! The hell's going on at A&M that professor has that attitude and still on the payroll? I can't believe it. I want to talk a little bit more as we wrap up this hour about this war on cops. It is a war on cops. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I'll scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, this push to defund police built around the George Floyd case, talking about reforming police. I don't have a problem with reforming if you're talking about actually going in where things are wrong and straightening them out and correcting them. I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with constantly being reviewed and reformed. But what we have now is a rush to judgment that all cops are wrong. That is profiling police, as many are saying. Police profile blacks or minority groups. They're both wrong. Although, when it comes to police, quote, profiling, they're doing it based on the cases they've seen and busted. That's still not reason to stop any and everyone of a different color. But I'll tell you this. You put a white kid in the middle of a black ghetto and he's going to be profiled and police are going to pull him aside too. What are you doing in this neighborhood? You in here trying to buy drugs or something? He'll be profiled because of his actions and things of that nature. And we have profiles all the time. I mean, it's acceptable to an extent that it doesn't become true discrimination and personal bias. And there's a thin line. There's such a thin line. We have to hold the line. And yet you can't just ignore it. I'm going to get on an airplane. If I'm going to get on an airplane tomorrow, I might have to take my shoes off because they're profiled that I could be carrying weapons in my shoe. I'm not a terrorist. Well, they're going to pull me aside and check me out anyway. I told you earlier about how Seattle protesters have declared a cop-free zone after police moved out of a precinct. Now Seattle protesters are in there and say, this is a cop-free zone. No more cops in this area. We'll see what happens when they have some violence. And in Chicago, police are admitting that we have threats being made against some of our police officers and their families. You know what doxing is? Doxing, D-O-X-I-N-G. That's spreading the addresses, the names of a police officer's family, the address where they live, how many kids, the names of the kids, any other information that makes them vulnerable for a target of revenge, attack, and anything else. And that kind of information in the hands of the wrong person will certainly lead to violence against the police officer's family or his home. Doesn't make a difference if the officer is black or white. In fact, he might be doxxed faster if he's black. You can't be black and serving the police blue line. You're on the wrong side. Chicago Police Department says we're aware of multiple incidents where personal information of numerous officers shared on social media in a malicious manner. The only reason to share that information is because they're trying to get somebody to, hey, take notice. Maybe you should drive by that house, but, you know, throw a firebomb in while they're sleeping at night. And that police officer had nothing to do with George Floyd or anything whatsoever. And his family certainly doesn't. We tend to forget and ignore the casualty of being a police officer. And it's not just the officer, but the family. As I said earlier, you got the Democrats taking a knee in Emancipation Hall for 8 minutes plus, marking the death of George Floyd at the hands of a police officer. And I asked then, how many times have Democrats ever taken a knee for a fallen officer, even one, or even a collection of them? After six officers were gunned down in Dallas protecting a Black Lives Matter march, did the Democrats do that? No, they didn't. Have they done it for aborted babies? No, they haven't. What about this case? A Las Vegas police officer on the force for 4 years, 26 years old now, was on duty at the Circus Casino, June the 1st, following a peaceful protest. It was a peaceful protest. And then somebody opened fire. And one of the bullets struck the officer in the head. They were trying to move the protesters because it said, your curfew's over, you need to move you out, and they started doing that. And the officer is 29 now, I'm stated, not 26, 29. Been on the force for 4 years. He was struck in the head. Since that time, he's been in critical condition in a trauma unit. They report the other day he's awake, appears to recognize his family, but then had a setback. and they had to work hard to get his vitals back under control. He had to undergo an additional surgery. A 20-year-old has been arrested already, and the guy says, well, I was firing at, I thought, protester. I didn't know police were out there. They're in uniform. He knew what he was doing, but he's trying to say, well, I wasn't trying to hit police. However it happened, this 29-year-old officer, word coming out from the family now, he might need a ventilator the rest of his life. The rest of his life, be it short or long. They're asking simply for prayer. I would encourage the same. Prayer for this officer, Shay Michelonis. Just remember the Las Vegas police officer, and he's one of many. Keep them and their families in your prayers. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.